Well, I know Ron Moquette would love to be looking at that many grade one wins in a season, and he knows how to train a good horse, and he has a good one in Whitmore. He is with us now on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ron, good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
All right.
Yeah, everything is well. I know everything is well on your end, too. Congratulations on the big victory.
Thank you very much. We're all proud of him.
You have your bags packed for Del Mar?
Yeah, we're ready. We were ready in January.
Good job.
Well, look back on that performance from last Friday. What an effort by Whitmore.
Oh, yeah, I was very pleased. I went about it training him a little unorthodox from what a lot of folks do today. And at the head of the stretch, I was doubting whether or not I did the right thing, but it was great for him to run the way he did for the partnership and the barn, and it was great to see how he come back out of the race. So I'm proud of the way it all happened.
Well, he's such a cool horse, and he always gives his best. I couldn't believe the price. I mean, that was ridiculous. He's way too good to pay $10.
Oh, yeah. Well, in the microwave society we live in, where the last minute, it seems like they forget what you did 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago or whatever. It's all about the last race. And I think that maybe some gamblers were almost upset with him that he didn't win his last out. And, they didn't back him as well as maybe they should have in the Phoenix, but I was happy.
Yeah, he was an overwhelming favorite the race before in the Grade 3 DeFrancis Memorial at Laurel on September 16th and ended up finishing third that day. Ronnie, you mentioned that you were training him a bit differently and unconventionally coming up to that win in the Phoenix. What do you mean? What'd you do different?
Well, my goal with him was the Breeders' Cup, and I've said that, you know, just about to any publication that would write it down. It was always to get there, and not just get there. I want to be there and feel like I've got a fresh, you know, ready to perform well horse. And whenever we had the shoe mishap at Saratoga on the entry of the Vanderbilt day, I decided, well, this is where we're going to give our break right here and get the foot right and do everything it takes to make sure that we're ready to run at Del Mar. So we took him to Laurel, hoping that the track was the right kind of track and that he was going to run as well as we had hoped, but it scratched. There was no speed in the race, and it was kind of, we're stuck down on the rail, and it just didn't set up. It was a four-horse field, and, you know, it's we got outrun. And I probably my fault, but I would have felt a lot much better if there had been speed. But afterwards, I did not give him a work. And I thought he was a little dull, and he wasn't as aggressive, so I decided I was going to take him to the Phoenix fresh, and I wasn't going to use the mornings to take energy away. I'm going to try to use the Phoenix. I thought we had him over a barrel talent-wise, and I thought I'd rather him use the Phoenix to propel him towards the Breeders' Cup. So instead of giving him a bunch of works and, you know, 46s and 47s and all that stuff, I just gave him a couple two-minute clips and pointed him to the Phoenix and used the race at Laurel as a stepping, you know, stone for that. I wanted to win the race at Laurel, and I thought we were ready, but after that I thought, you know, it was a deep track. We'll use that as our works to get to the Phoenix, and even more so to get to the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, that's brilliant of you. And you know, a lot of trainers work horses on a certain pattern, and the minute a workout's scheduled on the training chart, it's etched in stone. You know, Alan Jerkins, he always used to talk about, you know, just doing things by feel and do what's right for your horse and to heck with what the conventional wisdom is. And that takes a lot of guts sometimes. Talk about that and how you as a horseman figure that out.
Well, you know, there's so much information out there today. You know, when Alan Jerkins was doing those things, you know, there wasn't, the works didn't pop up before you got back to the barn, you know, and, and, you know, every owner didn't have a computer in their hand and could pull up the last 10 works. And so there's a lot more explaining now, but at the end of the day, it's just like Mr. Jerkins said, it's, you do by feeling what you feel is right for your horse. And with a horse like Whitmore, who can go out there and gallop in a minute, 52 seconds normally for a mile, he doesn't need as much. And whenever he's fit and moving the right direction, you know, the only reason I work him at all is just to keep him from dragging, you know, my wife's arms off as she's galloping. But anyways, you know, not, if I tried to do that with other horses, it wouldn't work. But you know, the individuality of the way we do it actually come into play on this. And I was happy that it worked out this time, because I had a lot of people that was questioning. I mean, if you watch some of the shows and some of the pre-race betting shows, the Phoenix, the nation's oldest race, and there's a lot of people know it's a win and you're in. And so there was a lot of talk about the race. And then beforehand, the gamblers and the Express Bet TV and all the other people that was doing it was all asking, you know, there's no works here. I don't understand this. And, you know, so I was glad that it worked out in our favor, and we got a good trip and, you know, a good effort from the rider and the barn, and because we could have looked really silly.
Talking with trainer Ron Moquette here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ron, you referenced something a short time ago, talking about the foot issue at Saratoga. There are people listening that might not know exactly what happened that day. Take us through that progression, and you already mentioned what you did to rectify it, but take us through what happened.
Well, we're going to fly him up and enter him the day after he lands at Saratoga. He's training at our base at Louisville. Everything's good. We fly up. He walks off the plane perfect. All that's great. We have a two-hour van ride from where the plane landed. There was a little bit of a holdup from the transfer from the plane to, or from the trip over from the plane to Saratoga. And he's a little anxious when he's traveling, so he did a lot of pawing. And he tore his shoe off, and we're about to be, no exaggeration, we're going to be the favorite in the Grade One Vanderbilt. And whenever he come off of the van, his shoe was tore off. And it's not that big a deal. Shoes come off sometimes, but whenever you're pawing on it, one of the nails went in there. And anyways, it caused him to be a little sore, and he tore the hoof wall a little bit. So I had to adjust everything I was doing. We're flying him up to be the favorite in the Vanderbilt. Instead, we don't get to enter, and we miss the race, obviously, and then we're playing catch up to get to where we once were.
Yeah, those are things that you just don't have any control over, and you don't know when they're going to happen. It was super unfortunate for you and for the horse and the owners, but in the end, You got to regroup, and you win the race at Keeneland. Now you're right back on schedule for the Breeders' Cup, and I couldn't be happier for you that you stuck to your guns. You did what your gut told you, and it was successful.
Oh, thank you very much. I think, you know, in the land of win percentages and you know, where win percentages dictate everything and moves 5 days out, 7 days out. Every now and then it's good to go back and just do what's right by the horse. Of course, some of my friends and colleagues will tell you the same thing I will. A good horse will bail you out and make you look smart all the time. So you can't, you know, if I'd have done this with a lesser horse, he may not have made me look as bright. So luckily it was Whitmore, and I tell everybody, he just keeps bailing us out.
Ronnie, Rusty Arnold joined us just a short time ago here on the program, and he said that he has never even set foot at Del Mar. How about you?
Actually, that was one of the first places I ever went. I was a country boy come to town, and that's where I got my license. And, I went from Blue Ribbon Downs to Del Mar.
Meteoric Rice to stardom.
Wow.
Yeah, that was it was quite. I've been there. I've enjoyed it. I think it's a different type of atmosphere but they do love their horse racing, and there'll be a big crowd there of people that are amped up and ready to see some good horses, and they're going to get to.
Yeah, they are going to get to, and they will get to see Whitmore, who goes postward in that Twin Spires Breeders' Cup Sprint. Ronnie, like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Before I let you go, let's go ahead and ask you, what is it about this sport and this game that makes you embrace the race?
The main thing is the relationship with the horse, the fact that they really want to do what we're wanting them to do. It's great to help anybody or anything achieve its ultimate goal. And whenever you know that they want to win as bad as you want them to win, it's a great feeling.
All right, there he is. He's Ron Moquette. Ronnie, appreciate all the time, and we'll see you out at Del Mar, and keep everything rolling until we get there.
We'll do it. Thanks for having me, guys.